Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to verse 18. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. I know this time and the word of God that you give us to enjoy. O Lord, let your word, O God, bring revival and strength and clear direction to each and every one of us. Lord, let your word bring help and wholeness and healing and grace, O God, that come from your throne. O Lord, help me to deliver your message and not my lips. And take your word, O God. Take your message, O God, and bring it to the people who are waiting for your word, O God. Those who need it, O God, direct this message to them. We thank you and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is Follow Me, the word of Jesus to Simon Peter, follow me. And this is how God calls Simon Peter to follow him, and it came true. Simon Peter followed Jesus at once. He left the net and moved on following Christ. For 3.5 years, Peter accompanied Christ. He lived with the Lord Jesus. He saw miracles, signs, and wonder, healing the sick, raising people from the death. And he was trained by the good example of Jesus. He was trained by seeing things on reality as Christ showed him things. And the word follow me is for you, that when God had called you and God had called me, he said to me, follow me. And we start to follow Christ, and Christ's life and Christ living with Christ is a wonderful life. There is much excitement, more miracles, answer prayer, great things, and that would encourage us to go on and serve Christ and walk with him. The word follow me is the word that Jesus is calling each and every one of us today to follow him. At the end of the 3.5 years, at the end of the earthly ministry of Jesus on earth, Christ, as we know, he was handed over to be crucified and to die on the cross for our sin. And he was buried and rose from the dead on the third day. That what had happened to Jesus and the way that he died, it brought some sort of physical trauma or emotional trauma in the life of Simon Peter. And there are certain time in our life as we walk with God, there are certain things had happened and or going to happen in our life that bring us more into discouragement, into doubt. When Christ crucified, the physical absence of Christ from the life of Simon caused some sort of doubt and discouragement and wavering of the faith of Simon toward Christ. It caused him emotional trauma and drove him away from his call and from what Christ had asked him to do and follow. There are certain circumstances. It may happen in your life, or it had happened in your life. It caused you certain sort of discouragement. You don't like to go on, or you don't like to give more. You don't like to sacrifice, and also these circumstances, the things that you pass trial in your life, whether it is whether it is emotional trial, whether it is sickness or financial loss or persecution or certain bad situation had come into your life and caused you discouragement, and that brought you away from God's service and what God wants you to do. We find this had happened exactly in the life of Simon Peter. Simon Peter, he reacted to the death of Jesus and to the physical absence of Jesus, although Christ raised him from the dead, but that friend that he was gone with and lived with, he's no more there. That comfort zone for Simon Peter, that I can see Christ with my eyes, I can live with Christ, I can walk with Christ. The physical absence of Christ had brought some sort of discouragement or doubt in the life of Simon Peter. Let us read John 21 and how Simon have went away from Christ and how Christ had went back to him to bring him back to himself. Let's read John 21. I'm going to read it from verse 1 to verse 13. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I am going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. We find here that Simon Peter was reacting in despair. And they went. They said, we will go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciple followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, their fish in it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have a breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. What we find here is this. Peter, in his despair, he went back to his previous job and a profession. He took with him five other people. It was hard for him to accept the new setup, so he was backslidden and left his call, busy with his work, busy with his career, busy with his friend, busy with his ambition, as you are. Now, certain time, we forget that Jesus had called us. We forget that Jesus said to me, or said to you, follow me. That even that happened to Simon, it might happen to us. Certain setup or situation or change in environment that Christ put us in, we may not accept. But that is God's will. And we need to adapt ourselves for that. The Holy Spirit now is there to comfort us, to support us in our life and service unto God. We may be in adverse situation that we don't wish to be, but that is part of God's calling, and trial should make us strong, encourage us. And the Lord today is visiting us once again through His Word, through the help of the Holy Spirit, and to bring us back to Him. It did not benefit Peter, and it was a futile attempt to go back to the old life and the old style of living without genuine faith and full trust in the Lord. We may tempted to do the same We may go back to the old life. You may go back to the old life, to all the friends, all the drinking, smoking, watching TV, all these unnecessary things, wasting your time on things that is unnecessary and not important. But this will not help you. You see, the whole life, you are not able to get anything. You will not be able to get anything from such things. For whole night, Peter struggled, but there was no catch of fish. There was no blessing in Peter's attempt to go back to the old life. And there will be no fruit for you if you discontinue walking with God, away from Christ, and going back to the old style of living. Christ today is coming to you as he spoke to Simon, and he told him, friend, and to the people with him, he asked him, friend, God still wants you back. He is coming today to you to bring you back where he had called you and anointed you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, and the fruit that will last forever. He had called you as a friend, and he entrusted you with a responsibility and service, and you need to be in line with God's word, in line with his call into your life. Why Simon Peter, he went back to the old style of living? There's anxiety, lack of faith, fear of tomorrow, the requirement of life and living, and all these things are in your life and in my life. But Christ still wants us to continue to go with him. Christ knows the what is inside us. What is the problem that we are passing through? What is the situation that you are struggling with? And today Jesus is coming, is visiting you, comforting you, is calling you friend, and he is giving you a direction. He is giving you encouragement. He is giving you the right advice how to live your life. As he said to see, as he said to them, throw the net on that side, and he gives them the right direction. He told them, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. He gave them direction. Today also Christ is giving you direction to live your life in the way that he wants you to be, so that you will be blessed. That you will be blessed. As Christ came back to Simon, he's coming back to you today and calling you. He bringing you some food. Here we find that Christ had prepared a breakfast to them, and God is preparing this word for you to encourage you, to bring you back to him. He's courting you back. You are the one whom Christ loves and cares for, and that's why he's coming to you. Let us read. Let us continue read and enjoy the word of God from John 21. And we will read it from verse 15. What Christ spoke to Simon after the breakfast, after this good introduction. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than this? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Christ was the one who taught Peter and the one who told you, follow me. He wants you back where he called you. As he asked Simon Peter, he's calling you back through his word and the Holy Spirit. He's asking you, do you truly love me more than this? And you will answer, yes, you know that I love you. And please don't be hurt if the Lord repeatedly asking you that. Are you taking care of his work? Are you taking care of his sheep? Are you feeding his lambs? Are you offering to them? This is what it counts to the Lord. And that's what he wants you to do, and the way to love him. If we love the Lord, we'll obey his commands. If we love the Lord, we will do what he had asked us to do. Then Jesus said to Simon Peter, in verse 18 from John 21, I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. That's here. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Christ said to Peter, here now the second time, follow me. But let us go to verse 18 and understand the terms and the things that Christ had put forward for Simon Peter and for you and for me at this stage of God's calling in your life and in our life. When God call us, when God call you, follow me, there are still things you want to do or you like to do. There are things according to your understanding, still you have ambition, you have wishes. And here today is telling you, when you are younger, before you go and you dress yourself where you like, but as you now growing, as you are now maturing, you need to understand that you will stretch your hands and someone will take you and dress you and lead you where you don't like to go. How the hands will be stretched? He said, will stretch out your hands. So the two hands will be stretched. So one going to the right and one going to the left. So how we will go? In which direction will go? Is it going to the right and going to the left? No, when the hand will be stretched, the hand will be stretched. And Jesus is speaking about the crucifixion of Simon Peter later on in his life, the way that he will die. And that is the way we will follow Christ. The second follow me here is the Lord is speaking about the crucifixion of the flesh, the crucifixion of the sinful nature in the life of the believer. In your own life, you go and come where you wanted to go and come, but after God had called you, you will go to certain places that you don't like to go. And that what had happened to Peter, and that will happen to you. God is going to bring you into a stage of maturity that your sinful nature, your bad attitude, your old life, and the style of living is going to be crucified. The second follow me here is to make us more equipped for God's service. Following Christ and serving Him and caring for His sheep and ministry is not an easy thing. In addition, not all the time it is an enjoyment, but there is a cost. We must know there is a cost on following Christ. There will be pain and there will be suffering. There is no ministry without suffering and without pain. But you don't need to be discouraged or get upset or refuse to continue to follow Christ and serve Him and His people. He is saying to you right now, follow me. The second follow me here is to indicate the crucifixion of your sinful nature, your ambition, your desire, your own plan, your own will, your own way of living. As we persevere to follow Christ, He will help us. And He will help you and sustain you. He will comfort you and heal your wounds and soothe your pain and heartaches. That should be clear to you. This is the new stage of your life and calling unto God. No ministry, no life for Christ without pain. But as we respond to God's call, there will be suffering as well as there will be joy, comfort, and reward. This is the second follow me that Jesus said to Simon Peter. Let us continue John 21 and we will read verse 20 and 21 and 22. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following him. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Verse 22, Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Praise the Lord. Now, this is the third time Jesus is saying to Simon Peter, "Follow me." And this is the time when Simon Peter, he turned back. It's very beautiful. He said that Peter turned, and so he turned, he shifted his face and eyes from Jesus toward the people. He saw the beloved disciple, or he saw somebody else. You may see somebody else. You may start to compare yourself with somebody else, and you will ask them, "What about this and what about that?" Here, the word of Jesus, "Follow me," will come as a rebuke, the same as Peter. We who follow Christ may turn back to other people around us who are following Christ and compare ourselves with them. And we may ask the Lord, "What about those people? What about this? What about that?" That is not the calling that God had called us, or God had called you to fulfill, and that is not your business. Everyone, God had called him, and he is responsible toward Christ. You need to focus forward upon Christ and follow him. These things related to the Lord and not for you and for me, even to ask him. Yes, if I want him to remain, the Lord told him, "What is that to you? You must follow me." What is that to you? What is that to me? We need to follow the Lord and not the people. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. We need to trust him. So here we find three "follow me" in the life of Simon Peter, and three "follow me" for you and for me. First, "follow me" when God called you first time to follow him. The second, "follow me" when you are entangled in life and hardship and trial and suffering, when you want to go back, when you want to forget God called, when you are anxious, when you are in doubt, when you are lacking faith, Jesus is coming back to you and bringing you back where he had called you to care for his sheep and to God's work, and he said to you, "Follow me." And the third, "follow me," and the third, "follow me" when you are entangled and you are no more focused on Christ but on people, on right and left, and you are not moving forward, but you are moving backward, sideward, but not after Christ. The third, "follow me," is a rebuke. Is God is telling you, "What is that to you? You must do what I had asked you and assigned you to do." Now, let us be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and let us allow the Holy Spirit to examine us. Which type, which stage of "follow me" you are? Are you in the first "follow me"? Are you in the second "follow me"? Or you are in the third stage of "follow me"? Christ is coming to you, is calling you for his service. You allow the Holy Spirit to examine you, and you pray, and you make commitment to Christ. You leave everything. You go back where God had called you to do what to do. You fix your eyes on Jesus, not on people. You pray to him and make your commitment. "Lord, I come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word that put me in the right track and guide me and direct me in the way that you want me to be, Lord. I give you thanks and I praise you for that. And Lord, you know all my struggle. You know I love you, O God. You know my hardship, O Lord. You know the trial that I am passing through, O God. Lord, I commit my life unto you, Lord. Lead me and guide me, Lord, gently, O God, in the way that you want me to be, Lord. Lord, I commit myself to follow you and walk on your ways and taking the responsibility and bearing the pain of the ministry of feeding and caring for the sheep. Lord, I commit myself not to look to others, but I look unto you only and obey you and follow what you want me to do, O God. Lord, shield my mind and shield my emotion and feelings and captivate my heart and control me with the Holy Spirit to do things pleasant unto you, O God. Lord, I pray for each and every one, O God, who is in your presence, O Lord, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Touch that person and touch his heart. Heal him, comfort your people, strengthen them, support them, O God. Encourage them, heal their wound, O Lord, and help them to go on and serve you and worship you, O God. Let carry the message and then bring it to those who need it, O God. But let your message bring revival. Bring the harvest that you desire, O God. Let your word not come back to you empty, but will accomplish the purpose that you have sent it. We thank you and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.